This morning, if you're able, let's take our Bibles again and stand up for the reading of God's Holy Word as we look at Matthew chapter 13. As this morning, we actually begin to take a look at the parables themselves that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And so this morning, we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to jump over, I'll explain why, in verse 18, where the parable is given, and then in verse 18, the explanation is given. And so in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, this is the very perfect and pure word of God for us this morning. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, or rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, there is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Father, indeed, as your Son has said, we need ears to hear, eyes to see. And would you open up our ears and eyes and, more importantly, our souls to understand and to apply and obey? Would you help us, Father, this morning to walk through these parables? Would you keep us away from the idea these are just cute little stories? But this is the word of God regarding your kingdom. And may we pay attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you would, be seated. The title for today's message is The Sower, the Seed, and the Soils. And in your translations, I'm not going to do this, but could hold a survey. Some of your translations, the man-made words, will say it's the parable of the sower. And another of the translations you have in the man-made words, it'll give the title, it's the parable of the soils. Well, we're going to pay attention to all the elements of Christ's parable and not limit the parable to perhaps what our man-made headings might say. So Jesus, if you were not with us last week, Jesus finishes a rather contentious chapter 12. And he begins now to teach the people what it means to be a part of the kingdom, that there is a kingdom, who is the king of the kingdom. And last week, if you were not with us, what we covered were verses 10 through 17. The why of the parables. So we took a look at why does Jesus use parables, and we saw last week, well, he gives parables to reveal truth to those who are hungry and to conceal it from those who refuse to hear it. We talked some last week about the idea of the Lord judicially in heaven closing the ears of those who willfully on earth had already closed their ears to what Jesus had said. And so the parables are used to reveal and to bring blessing or to conceal to those who are already unwilling to hear the full message of Christ and therefore be part of the judgment on the last day. So the parable to teach the elements of the kingdom, and some wrestle, is there just one main point? Or are there perhaps several main points? I think in this particular parable, the main point is this: do all that you can to be good soil. All that is in your ability, be of good soil. Hear and understand, apply what it is that you're hearing. Do not be like the soils that we shall mention in just a moment. True disciples, remember that Jesus gives the parable in verses 1 through 9, and then the disciples come to him and pressing him a little bit about why are you doing this and what does this mean? And true disciples this morning, even as they have had the Word of God read, want to know more of what it is that Jesus has to say. And so let's press on here. Jesus uses rather familiar imagery when he's giving the parables. He does not give a parable about astronauts or about Mustangs or something like that. He gives illustrations that would have been common to the day. And perhaps even while Jesus is in the boat and the people are gathered around, perhaps, the text does not say this, but perhaps in the field nearby, there is a sower reaching into his bag. And so let's begin with this notion of the sower as Jesus begins. A sower went out to sow. Now, the first two points this morning, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but I do want to make a couple of points. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, or as he was sowing, some seeds fell along the path, and I want to stop there. Notice that the sower is purposeful. The sower is not going out to play hopscotch in the field. He's not going to a restaurant. He's not going out to play a game. He's not necessarily going out to take care of some errands that he has to do for the rest of the family. He's there to do one thing. He is purposeful. A sower went out to sow. He sows because he is a sower. I'm just trying to make it abundantly clear here. He does that which he is. He is a sower and goes out to sow seed. And in the day, they did not have tractors with big lumbering seed baskets in the back, and you could sort of sit in your air-conditioned cabin and move along and acre after acre. No, you were broadcasting, and not with the Scott's little turn thing that you'd wear on your belly, but rather he'd have a bag over his shoulder filled with seed. And he would walk his field, and he would simply reach in the bag and grab some seed and throw it out, and reach in the bag and grab some seed and throw it out. He was purposeful for his task. Now, remember that in this parable, Jesus is the chief sower. He has come to cast the seed out upon the soil of our hearts. Jesus is the chief sower, and he has come to sow the words of the kingdom. He is purposeful. But notice that the sower is also persistent. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, or as he was sowing, and the verb here translated means that he is continually sowing, so that he goes, not just on a one-off kind of moment, but whenever we see the sower, find him sowing, because that's who he is. He's a sower. Now, Jesus, as I said, is the chief sower, but as I hope to argue to us later, we are now sowers in the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to be purposeful when we go out to sow. We may be doing other things, but help us to be purposeful, to take the seeds of the kingdom, the word of God with us. And may we be persistent in our sowing. So we've taken a look at the sower. Now let us take a look at the seed. Well, what exactly is this seed according to Jesus in the parable? Well, we see that a sower in verse 9 went out to sow. In verse 4, and as he sowed, some seeds. Well, what is this seed? Well, when Jesus gives the explanation over there in verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. All right, again, later on in verse 20, who hears the word. So that the seed that the sower is sowing as he's being purposeful, as he's going out, as he's persistent in his continual activity, he is sowing the word of the kingdom. Now, to those who had been attending or reading the Gospel of Matthew, we would know that Jesus opens the door for us. What? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. This is the word of the kingdom. What we're going to see as we continue to go through Matthew, that there is a king, and his name is Jesus. It's not Ken, it's not John, it's not Patty, it's not Betty. The name of the king, of the entire kingdom of the universe, his name is Jesus. And so he has a king, and there is a king, and there is a kingdom inaugurated, begun by the work of Jesus, and it will come to completion when Christ comes again. More on that next week, as to what will happen when Christ comes. But the word, the seed, is the word of the kingdom. Notice that the sower has just one seed. And what I mean to make of that in terms of a point this morning is this. This is the only seed you and I have. The sower, when he encountered a little bit of difficulty with on the beaten path, didn't decide to go to the store and get newer seed. And when some came up into the rocky soil and was choked out by the thorns, realized this seed is deficient. I need to go get some new and improved, some more contemporary, relevant seed for the day. No, it's the same seed all the time that he is sowing. It is the word of the kingdom. You and I do not have any new message in bringing about the kingdom of God as God works through us. It is the same message that God has created us. Men have rebelled. We are in danger of judgment. But God in his mercy has provided a Savior in the name of Jesus, who came, the eternal Son of God, died on the cross in our place, perfect in all his ways. He takes our sins. We take his perfect righteousness. He was dead, buried, raised, and is coming again. We have no other seed to plant but the word of the kingdom. So be encouraged. Now, I'm not opposed. I do want to say this as a word of instruction. When you are sowing your seed, dear brothers and sisters, do not neglect the seed. I'm not opposed to you using a tract. I'm not opposed to you asking spiritual questions like, if you were to die today and stand before God, what would be your hope to go to heaven? I have no problem with you using that. I do have a problem if that's your only method. Why? Because that question's nowhere in Scripture. That question does not give life. This word does give life. Which means when we're talking to our friends and our family members and our co-workers about who God is and their need for God, no word, no matter how eloquently said or how skillfully designed to bring about some response by somebody else, no other word of man will give life, but this will. We must be using the Scriptures and are sowing the seed with others. Now, if you're going to use that question, if you were to die today and stand before God, and then that person says, well, I don't really know. Well, let me show you what the Bible says. Or if they say, well, yes, I think so. I've been pretty good. Well, can I show you in the Scripture where that doesn't actually happen? No one gets into heaven based on how good they are. No, we are all sinners and separated. We need somebody to come and rescue us, to stand between a holy God and sinful man to bring us in. Well, use the word of God. We have said, I will sing. I didn't mean to trick you, but we did say together, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, which means Sunday morning and Monday morning and Tuesday afternoon and long in the week on Thursday and Friday. Oh, let us be sowers of the word of God. It's the same seed. No need for a new seed. But let us be encouraged. You can write this down and perhaps meditate on it this afternoon. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. Some of you know this verse already. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8 says this. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This is the seed that sowers take out. Well, Pastor Ken, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not that confident in my scripture memorization to share pieces of scripture with somebody else. That's okay. There's a lot of folks in here that don't have the whole Bible memorized. But we might have a couple of passages memorized, right? Or we have them written down in our Bibles on the first page or two, and we know these are good verses to share with those. And some of your Bibles even have it in the back, a section of Bible helps, verses to share with other people. Okay, you came in and you're not very confident with your usage of the Scripture. But that doesn't mean you got to stay there, right? Maybe use the Lord's Day to equip yourselves with the Word of God, to go ahead and find some Scripture verses that speak to the issue of the mercy of God, the judgment of God, the righteousness of Christ that's given to us, and jot them down on the tabs of your Bibles, and become prepared so that we might sow the seed of the Word. So we have the sower, purposeful, persistent, and we have the seed, which I can keep on going with peas, right? Perfect and pure, right? If I wanted to keep on doing that. This is the best seed that we can sow. Husbands into the lives of your wives. Parents into your lives of your children. Friend to friend. Even unto complete strangers, the Word of God brings life. Well, then we have perhaps the focus of the passage, in which, at least in terms of the amount of time that Jesus spends in explanation. And let's take a look at the soils this morning. Let's take a look at the soils. The first soil, we could say, is unresponsive. It's unresponsive. So there in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, in Jesus' day, there would be fields in common areas of the countryside, and they'd be divided by walkways. And the walkway could be used by anybody of the region, not just the particular farmers who had put their seed out into their fields. And as you can imagine, in a hot, arid area, as people are walking on the path sort of becomes like concrete. Hard. It's not going to take anything in. Even rain would just sort of quickly wash off to the sides, much less these seeds, which would probably bounce around as they're cast on the hard ground. Remember, however, that when Jesus says in verse 19, and does not understand it, there's, given what we said last week in verses 10 through 17, there is a willfulness to their not understanding it. They do not want to hear it. They do not want to obey it. Their hearts are hardened already on earth and then seen as such in heaven. Now, William Barclay, who was a British commentator during World War II, says that there are several ways our hearts can be hard and beaten down. One is just laziness. We don't hear the word because we stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning, routinely. We didn't prepare our hearts to hear. We've just come in and just, we've sort of said, sock me, God. Instead of taking some time on Saturday with the Word of God, you all know pretty much, not every week, but most weeks, what the next passage is we're going to be preaching. Take some time to read through it. And what do you think Pastor Ken's going to say tomorrow? What does the Word of God say, even more importantly? What does the Word of God say? And then maybe take a peek at what would Pastor Ken say about this passage. On Saturday and I know some of you know this, but to lay out your clothes Saturday night. So to set your alarm and double check it, right? Worship starts every week the same time, 10:30, right? And so that way you're not rushed in coming in. So then halfway through the service, finally your mind is sort of finally reached to a point where it can start to take in. No, use Saturday to be prepared. Don't be lazy in your worship or lazy in your hearing. And then he says there's another form of hardness of the hearers, and that's just arrogance. Oh, I know this. I'm checking out. That's a danger, really, with familiar passages like this. Oh, I've heard this before. But if you talk enough to your brothers and sisters in Christ, many of them will confess to you, I've read this passage hundreds of times. All of a sudden, I see something new in this passage. Oh, don't just think because you've read it once, you know it all. The Bible and its word is deep as the oceans, even if from time to time we merely skim across the waves. And then there are those who are hard-hearted because they're simply foolish. Well, there is no God. And I really don't need to hear the word of God then. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then what does Jesus say? Those who have hardened their hearts, and I'm getting, again, this language from already what we covered last week, verses 10 through 17. Those whose hearts are hard because they do not want to hear what is being said, what is the result? The evil one comes. Some of you might have found it odd. I think last week I did this, and occasionally I'll do this. When I'm praying before the sermon, I will pray, Lord, let not the evil one snatch away. And you might think, well, that's sort of odd that you would pray that. Well, that's exactly what this verse is talking about. I'm praying for you to have open hearts to hear what is being said so that when you begin to walk away at the end of the day, the evil one doesn't take away the seed so that you think no more about what it is that you heard in the time of the sermon on the Lord's day. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is parallel to even that which he has in the verses that we looked at last week will be taken away. You continue to harden your heart and then the day will come. Well, what was it Pastor Ken was saying? Don't be surprised if you cannot remember. For someone has come and taken away that which you did not want to begin with. So there is the unresponsive soil. It is dead. It is unresponsive because it is dead, hardened, self-hardened, and hardened by the Lord. Then there is a second soil. And there could be a lot of ways that we could describe this, but I'm going to keep with the un pattern here. And so this would this second soil would be unreliable. Unreliable, or it could be a flash in the pan. That was more than one blank, though. Or we could say it'd be superficial, which would probably be pretty close to the truth here, because as he begins to describe verse 20, as for what was sown on rocky ground, he does not mean for you to begin to picture so that you have the hard pathway where everybody's walking, and the next to that is sort of where all the pebbles fall, and that's the rocky soil. No, that's not the word that's being used here. In the Middle East, it was quite common that limestone would just be an inch or two underneath the soil. So enough soil that there could be some seed dropping in and some watering and a little bit of root growth. But after that, the stone keeps the roots from going down. And so I don't know if you know this about gardening, but if you don't have much soil to go, the plants have energy, right? They have energy, and so they can't go down. And what they'll do is they'll go up. And maybe you've seen this. They'll go ahead and sprout up nice and tall and bright and green, and they look healthy until the sun comes out. And it goes to suck up some juice. It goes to suck up some water, right, to nourish itself. But there is no system of nourishment. And it quickly dies out. And here Jesus is very explicit for us that as for what was sown on rocky ground in verse 20, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately he falls away. And so this is the picture. There are those who will hear the word of God. And they'll think to themselves, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. And you'll see a burst of energy. You'll see a burst of activity. You'll see a burst of attendance. They'll want to be involved with certain ministries or activities of the church. But lo and behold, somewhere along the way, a boyfriend or girlfriend will whisper to them, listen, you've got to lay off this Jesus so much. Or a parent will say, do you really have to be reading your Bible again? Or a coworker will begin to mock. Some resistance sets in. And rather than listening to the pure word of God, they listen to the voices of those who are persecuting them and ridiculing them and oppressing them, and immediately he falls away. Now, that falling away makes it very obvious that there is no more life in them. So this is a picture not of one who is truly a Christian and then somehow falls away, but rather one who is never truly rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ, he would be nourished to withstand the persecutions and the tribulations. And sadly, if you know folks, some of you may know folks like this. Some of you are smiling even as I was describing them. And I paused in the reading because I can see faces even now of individuals who sprung up green and vivacious. Some even in our own midst. But then seemingly walk away when others resist them. Oh, the truth of the Scripture of God. So there is a second soil which is unreliable, because at the first breath of hot wind from those who might resist or persecute, they wither and are destroyed. They are scorched, says Jesus in verse 6. They are indeed the epitome of a fair-weathered Christian. When all is blessing and easy, I'm with Jesus. And when the heat comes, not to be found. Craig Blomberg, in his commentary on Matthew, says this parable provides a sober reminder that even the most enthusiastic outward response to the gospel offers no guarantee that one is a true disciple. Only the tests of time and perseverance through difficult circumstances and the avoidance of idolatries like wealth and anxiety over earthly concerns, and above all, the presence of appropriate fruit, can provide proof of genuine conversion. The second soil, unreliable, a flash in the soil, if you would. And then there's a third soil, and that is the soil that is unfocused. There in verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. So they are hearing, at least, not like that first soil. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. And the implication, the imagery there is chokes them out so that they are no longer viable. So the one hears the word of God and is moved, is interested, and believes that there may be something to this Christianity. But lo and behold, I have other goals in my life. I have other activities that I want to be involved in. I have other concerns that preoccupy my time. And what happens is that although they have heard the word, very shortly thereafter, they begin to negate Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And they begin to fall prey into the warning that Jesus gave, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. They are unfocused upon the kingdom of God. They are unfocused upon the Savior who has shown them mercy. They are unfocused on the growth of the kingdom. And they are more focused upon the growth of their business. This is what it says here. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. How are riches deceitful? It's not that riches are bad. Can I take that away from some of you maybe who learned through a bad trivia test that somehow money is the root of all evil? It is not. Money is neutral. Great good can be done with money. But the love of money, to which that becomes your driving force in life to get more and more and more at the risk of or at the expense of your focus upon the Lord. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The cares of the world can be all any number of things, and this is where the anxiety comes in. And so really the two things that are choking on this one who at least hears the word and sees some value on it is the anxieties of life. The anxieties of life and the ambitions of the heart. And maybe that is you today. Maybe this week, the anxieties of life and the ambitions of your heart have been your focus rather than the kingdom and the one who can provide all your needs as you follow him. What do you do? Well, you cry out. Jesus, have mercy on me. I've focused on my family and its troubles more than you. I've focused on my schooling and all its requirements more than you. I've focused on my business more than I have on you. I've read spreadsheet after spreadsheet after spreadsheet after manual for my job, but I've never opened up your word. And then we wonder why we're starving for some wisdom in life. I've been worried about what everybody else thinks of me, Lord, rather than staying true to what I know you think about me, according to your word. So the third soil is unfocused and comes to its end. And then Jesus ends with the fourth soil. And that is, sorry to break the un-pattern, but it is the fruitful soil. Because although the others are plagued with their problems, this is a blessing. This is fruitfulness. This is goodness. This is prospering in what it was meant to do. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word of God. Now listen, now this is a distinction between the soil before, which did hear, but now hears and understands. And remember from last week, the understanding is not just acknowledging something to be true, but to walk in it, to make whatever was heard your own and to live according to what it is that you have heard. In this case, that the kingdom of God has come. I will repent and believe. As for what was sown on good soil, and this is the one who hears the word and understands it, he indeed then goes on to activity, bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. He literally saves the best for last. Yes, these responses of those who hear and don't care, or hear and flare up and flare out, or those who seem to hear but then wander away, they do exist. But keep at the sowing, because there will be those who hear and understand and begin to bear fruit. And those are the ones that our focus is to be on. This is why I believe Jesus ends with the good soil. So that the story ends with this good aspect of evangelism. This good aspect of sowing the seeds of the kingdom of God. Because there will be some who hear and understand and make the words their very own. Well, how then, indeed, what would be the fruit? What would be the fruit? Well, we can say that fruitfulness is indeed belief. In John 6, 28 and 29, then they said to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe." A fruit of one who hears and understands is one who believes, repents, and believes, repents from their sinfulness, and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, and begins to live with Jesus as their King. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He hath sent. Another work, another expression of this is good soil is that we persevere. The perseverance of the saints. Wait a minute. I thought that once saved, always saved, right? Yes, but in a way that's a slang, soft misuse of the concept of the perseverance of the saints. What? Are you saying that Jesus loses any that are given to Him? Are you saying the Scriptures are wrong in John 6? No. But I am saying that those who have been given to Christ will persevere until the end. They will long to persevere in holiness. They will long to persevere in the fruit of the Spirit. They will long to persevere in wanting to see the kingdom of God grow around them. The perseverance of the saints. The preservation of the saints. Yes, God preserves us, but we do persevere, those who are born again by the Spirit of God. We keep on the bearing of fruit. There's a continuance there. There's certainly the fruit of the Spirit. If it bears fruit, we could go over to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where there is gentleness and kindness and patience, long-suffering, right? All those goodness. Yes, that's the fruit of God too. The fruit of the Spirit in us and bears that out in us day by day with ever-increasing measure as God sends the Holy Spirit to work in us degree by degree, more and more into the image of His Son. So I will agree that the fruit is believing, and I will agree that it is perseverance, and I will agree that it is the fruit of the Spirit. But we cannot escape the bearing of fruit is the bearing of others like us. Seed that is planted comes up and bears fruit like itself, so that it is our heart's intent, at least, to be used so that others around us become Christians as well. There is no escaping that the harvest is grown by sowing, not just by the chief shepherds, but by us who go out sowing the seed as well. And we understand some will have a hard heart, and we understand some will flash up and burn out at the first moment of resistance. And we understand that some will hear and they'll abide, but then they'll be carried away by cares and concerns of the world or of their own heart. But there will be some who will come up after us and hear and understand and themselves bear fruit. So this is a need for boldness and discernment, right? And immediately we're going, I know the human heart's the same, right? There are some in this room that are going, but I haven't had 100 people come to faith under me. Am I not bearing fruit? And Jesus in His mercy says what? Some of you aren't going to reach 100-fold, but pray like Spurgeon. Lord, if you're not going to use me for 100-fold, use me for 30-fold. I'm not so much worried about any of you who sit here today and you're concerned that it's been a while since you've seen somebody come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's burdening you that you haven't seen that happen lately. What I'm more concerned about is those who say, I've got mine, and I don't really care. Oh, you would never say that, but you do that when you don't open your mouth up with the name of Jesus on your lips. Oh, I care that others come to faith. Don't show it to me. Don't prove it to me. Bear the fruit of praise on your lips. The sacrifice of praise on your lips before the Lord before others, that others might hear Jesus. Do we really believe that there's no other name under heaven by which anyone may be saved but the name of Jesus? Do we really? I've got a mirror right here, folks. I am not looking at really anybody very strongly but myself. Do we really believe that? Then how are they going to hear the name of Jesus if we're all mum? Because we used up our Jesus quota on Sunday. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come back next week and fill out some sort of report of how many people you have. That's ultimately between you and the Lord, right? I'm just pleading with you that we cannot get away from one of the elements of bearing fruit is bearing others like us, who are once sinners, lost in darkness. Now, we can't control the harvest, right? The sower is not held responsible for the soils. The sower is responsible to be purposeful and persistent. May we be. This requires boldness and discernment. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, doesn't the Bible say that, you know, don't answer a fool in his folly? And doesn't the Bible say that, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine? Yes. But the Bible also says, go and teach. Don't cherry pick because you're ashamed to name the name of Jesus outside of this room. Ecclesiastes 11:4, he who observes the wind, this has direct application. Ecclesiastes 11:4, he who observes the wind will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. Remember when we were going back through that? Book of Ecclesiastes, it's the heart of one who does not want to labor. Always waiting for just the perfect circumstances before going out to sow. To which they will never have a harvest because there are never any perfect circumstances to sow. There's always a little bit too much wind or a little too much dryness or a little bit too much wetness or too late in the week or the season or what have you. We simply go. We do what we have been called to do as sowers under Christ. Be purposeful and persistent. Be encouraged. You know, these four soils are not just meant for us to understand that they exist. These are the four soils that existed while Christ was sowing. You will not experience anything in your sowing except that which Christ has already experienced before you. So this morning, as we come to the close of our sermon, our time together in the Word of God, really two questions of application, maybe one question and one encouragement. One question this morning, what kind of soil are you? Even now we pray for the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes that we might see ourselves the way that the Lord sees us. Are we fair-weathered Christians? Are we those who come week to week and we're entertained? Pastor Ken puts on a good demonstrative show for us. But really believing that stuff? Really doing that stuff? Are we soils that are preoccupied, unfocused? May our prayer for ourselves and our prayer for those around us, oh Lord, till down and make me good soil. Till down through any hardness, any crustiness of my heart. Till down and make me good soil. Till down in the apparent hardness of a loved one, of a child, of a parent, of a spouse, tilled down in the heart of that coworker that I've been sowing the seed and it just bounces off. Till down, Lord, would you convert them? Would you give them ears to hear and eyes to see? He is the Lord of the harvest. Till down. And then the second application for us this morning is this. Let us take up the mantle of being who we are and doing who we are as sowers for Christ. We are the proclaimers of the word of the kingdom. Well, Pastor Ken, it doesn't say that there. And you're right. That's why we have the rest of the scriptures. So 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, which we take great comfort in, and just recently in a Lord's Supper, I think 2 months ago, but you are a chosen race, says Peter to the believers. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And at this point we say, hooray, we are that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Those who have truly received the mercy of God cannot help but, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. No matter who your audience may be, sowing as we go. Let's pray. Oh, Father, would you help each one of us in this room? There's not a one who has no spiritual need of help and courage and enthusiasm and desire in this area. There's no one in this room who does not from time to time wane in their perseverance to continue to sow. We even run the risk of growing discouraged in well-doing, that very thing that Paul encourages for us not to be. Too often our eyes are on those, and our ears are on those that have resisted and who bounce back any good seed that we try to send to them. And maybe in our own lives we've seen a number of people that seem to flame up and flame right back out. And we perhaps question, are we doing any good? We're burdened for those who, they know the gospel message, but there's this issue in life and this goal in life, and those things never seem to yield to the kingdom. And we're tempted to say, what's the use? Oh, Father, there are those that are yours, whose hearts have already been tilled and are ready to receive the word of God, much like Paul when he had his first frustrations in Corinth, and yet you sent him back in. I have many of mine in there. renew our hearts to go out a-sowing this week. Let us have our eyes hopeful again for those who hear and understand and bear fruit. And may our hearts rejoice more with those who get it than become discouraged with those who will not. Father, be with those in this room that who have heard the gospel. There's very few people in this room who I do not know by name, but are regularly attending. The gospel is known. But will it be understood and yielded to and acted upon? Oh Lord, give such life today. For the one who, Father, is perhaps the hardness of their heart is experiencing the first works of the till, and there is indeed grief and sorrow for sin, and perhaps they're wondering, is it too late? Oh, today is the day of salvation. All who call, even today, upon the Lord, are able to be saved as they come to Him with humble hearts. Father, be with us as a church as we seek to sow seeds at our various workplaces, some of us in our various homes, as we're seed casting in the grocery store, as we're seed casting on the ball field, as we're seed casting in our classrooms, as we're seed casting in the Whitesville Elementary School in just a few weeks to come. Oh Lord, encourage our hearts and may we see some good seed fall on good soil. We get to be a part of that which Jesus first started. We thank you for the privilege and ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.